He paused, considered her with a naughty glint in his eyes. You mean, pussy? Flames burned her face and she wanted to hide inside herself. The corner of his mouth kicked up. No wonder my mom likes you so much. It's very Vietnamese to be modest about sex. I didn't even know the correct Vietnamese word for girl parts until I was 20. Most people call it a little bird. My aunt refers to it as a sweet potato. Those aren't the right words for yours. You have a pussy, Stella. Her face burned even hotter, and the blush spread down her neck to her chest, touching everything. That's a cat. They purr and catch mice. Me? That part? It doesn't. The image is so ridiculous, I can't... It's a pussy, Stella, and it's wet for me, and I want to eat it. Focusing a dark look between her legs, he traced her folds, dipped inside briefly and began circling the part of her that wanted him most. And this is your clit. It wants my mouth so bad it's bright red. Put us both out of our misery and let me taste you. If you hate it, I'll stop. It hit her then that he truly wanted this. Her. He liked what he saw. His unabashed craving for her most private parts was real and dirty and exciting. A secret Stella woke up and stretched, drawn to Michael and his words. Will you be disappointed if I don't like it, and I don't respond like other women? She wanted to like it, wanted to orgasm for his mouth like so many other women had, and because of that, her arousal started fading away as performance anxiety took its place. If you don't like it, then we'll move on. Running his hands down her inner thighs, he spread her wider. The tip of his tongue pressed against her gorgeous upper lip. He bent down close to her wet flesh, making her nervousness spike to heart-pounding levels, and took a deep breath. I'm beginning to understand your addiction to my smell. It's a good thing you don't smell like this everywhere, though. I'd have a constant hard-on for you. I'm having enough trouble as it is. A gentle closed-mouth kiss landed on her clitoris, and her entire body stiffened. That was not what she'd expected. Hate it? He asked. I... Another kiss, followed by a slow tasting. He hummed his approval and covered her with his mouth, sucking with slight pressure as his tongue laved her, soft and warm and delicious. Stella's body went limp as heat bloomed inside her. I can tell you don't like it, he rasped. Just let me... His tongue stroked into her, lapping at the moisture that flooded from her. One last taste. He returned to her clitoris, scraping his teeth against the sensitive nerves before he kissed her again, sipped at her, licked her. She buried her face in the blankets as pleasure concentrated low and deep. His tongue was so clever, but release stayed just out of reach. This was too new. Her body was in a state of shock from the sensations bombarding her. When he stopped, she was going to cry. Two fingers worked into her, and her eyes rolled back into her head. He began a steady rhythm as his tongue flickered over her, and she couldn't prevent her hips from rising to meet his thrusts. Oh, God, she was riding his hand, smothering his face with her sex. That had to be bad. She told herself to stop. She couldn't. Somehow, she found her hands tangled in his short hair. Her body was coiling tighter, grasping at his fingers, so wet now she could hear the slippery sounds every time he drove back into her. I'll stop, Stella. Clearly. His tongue rubbed over her fast and hard, and she clenched helplessly around his fingers. Clearly you hate this. Michael! That breathy, needy voice was hers. She didn't care. She rubbed her hungry flesh against his tongue, nearly sobbing when he took her back into his mouth. He sucked with perfect pressure, and she came apart with strong, wrenching convulsions. He rode out the orgasm with her, dragging out the pleasure with soothing flicks of his tongue. As the aftershocks spaced out, he pressed a parting kiss to her sex and rose over her to blanket her with his body. She buried her face against his chest, feeling more exposed and vulnerable than she'd ever been. She'd let him do that to her. She'd made all those sounds, lost all control. You came on me like a porn star, Stella. I almost spilled in my jeans. Did it take me too long? Was that a lot of work? It discomforted her that she'd been the only one to derive pleasure from that act. She much preferred to be on the giving side of things. He laughed softly. I drew it out on purpose, Stella. You were sexy as hell. Peeling away from her, he sat back on his heels and extracted a small foil from his pocket. Do you want to? She pushed herself up, and the bathrobe slipped off her shoulders. She stifled the reflex to cover her nudity, but couldn't bring herself to meet his eyes. Her pulse was out of control. Yes, I want to. She took the foil from his hand and tore it open with shaky fingers. He got down from the bed and unbuttoned and unzipped his fly. His muscles bunched and shifted, and the dragon tattoo winked at her as he stepped free of his pants with masculine grace. This was Michael, in all of his naked glory. He was perfection. Even that part of him. Oh, God, especially that part of him. His erection stood at attention, thick and veined, in flawless proportion to the rest of his beautiful body. She'd just had the most intense orgasm of her life, but she wanted more. She wanted that. It made her mouth water, and she'd never given a man oral sex. She couldn't remember how to breathe as he kneeled on the bed and wrapped one of her hands around him. He was so hot, satiny soft, but rigid underneath. Want, want, want. In any way she could, in whatever way he liked. Stella, the look on your face. His voice was hoarse, almost a groan. He guided her fist up and down his length, saying, This is my cock. When you want it, when you need it, that's the word I want you to use. Unable to speak, she nodded. Secret Stella loved the idea of demanding his cock, and him providing it, though she didn't think she'd ever be able to get the word past her lips. Not unless they were talking about farm animals. Probably not even then. Do you want to put it on me? He asked, indicating the forgotten condom in her other hand. She licked her lips and cleared her throat. Yes. Her hands weren't steady, so she and Michael ended up doing it together. When they finished, he pulled her close, and she shivered at the feel of their skin coming in contact. Her nipples grazed his chest, and his solid length burned against her lower belly. He swept his hands up and down her back as he angled his head, trying to catch her gaze. Why won't you look at me? She trained her eyes on the notch at the base of his throat and hunched her shoulders forward. I'm feeling very self-conscious. We're both naked. She didn't know how to explain that it was on the inside that she was feeling naked. If he looked into her eyes, he'd see all of her. The person she kept hidden away. No one wanted to see that. This was supposed to be fun and educational, not soul-bearing. He tipped her chin back, and she caught a glimpse of tender eyes before she squeezed her own shut. Kiss me, please, she said. Warm lips took hers, tasting of her and him and sex. His hands grew urgent as he caressed her. He grabbed her thigh and hooked her leg around his hips, opening her to him. With a flex of his hips, he stroked over her sex. The friction sent blood pooling fast and hot. Now, Stella. She wrapped her arms around the barrel of his chest and pressed her lips to his neck. I'm ready. He lowered her to the bed, and his body covered her. He nuzzled against her jaw and ear, pressed soft kisses to her cheek, the corner of her mouth, her lips. You have to talk to me, okay? If something hurts, if you don't like it, if you want something more, if it's perfect, say everything. Eyes still shut, she said. I'll try. Unexpectedly, he flipped her around so she was on her hands and knees. I think you'll feel less self-conscious this way. She opened her eyes, taking in the rumpled pillows and wooden headboard. He was right. This was better. He couldn't see her. She immediately relaxed. Will it be good for you this way? The other men had all preferred the missionary position. No, it's going to be excellent. Rough hands glided down her back and massaged her with voluptuous motions. His firm chest brushed against her shoulder blades as he propped an arm on the bed next to her. Reaching in front of her, he slid a hand up her inner thigh. He searched through her folds and sank his fingers deep, working her until her hips were rocking and fresh moisture drenched the both of them. Withdrawing, he teased her clitoris with gentle touches. "Michael, Stella," he replied, breathing heavily in her ear. Something hard prodded at the entrance of her body and pushed inside slowly. Stella stopped breathing. Sex had hurt in the past, but there was nothing now but a sensuous stretching that went on and on until Michael seated himself fully inside her. She tried to swallow to talk, couldn't. They fit perfectly. For long moments, Michael remained immobile. Sensing the tension in his body, she looked at him over her shoulder. "Michael?" His face was drawn as if in pain. "I've been wanting this too long. It's too good. You feel..." He exhaled. "If I move, I'm going to lose it." She couldn't stop herself from smiling. She wasn't alone in this. "Move." She arched her back and rocked against him. The motion pushed him in even deeper, filled her. A raw groan escaped his throat. "Stella, I'm serious. Give me a moment to cool down. This is our first time. I want fireworks for you." Our first time. He made it sound like there would be lots of times. The thought made her so happy her heart wanted to burst. She didn't need fireworks. She just needed him. Wet kisses landed on her neck, interspersed with teasing nips and greedy licks. He traced the folds, stretching tightly around him, before sliding his slick fingertips higher. When he rubbed her there, she clenched on him and moaned. Only then did he begin moving. He withdrew, thrust back into her, retreated, returned, picking up a driving rhythm. The twin assaults of his fingers and invading sex kindled flames beneath her skin that spread outward in widening rings. "Stella," he said with a groan, "you feel too good. Sweet Stella. My Stella." His words soothed and excited. She tried to speak as he'd asked her to, but all that came out were gasps and sighs of pleasure. Instead, she communicated how she felt with her body. She spread her thighs wider and writhed to match him thrust for thrust. Did he like that? Or was she being too debauched? The hand propped against the mattress captured hers, and he interlaced their fingers. "Just like that," he whispered. "Perfect." Her sex fisted tight. For a timeless moment, she hovered on the brink, breathless, possessed, loved. The orgasm crashed over her. She rippled around him as he drove into her relentlessly. She attempted to meet his thrusts, but the strong convulsions gripping her body stole her coordination. His lips traveled from her neck to her jaw, and when she turned toward him blindly, he captured her mouth, stroking his tongue deep. The caresses between her legs did not ease, and before the last orgasm had finished, she felt another building. Her muscles fluttered around his impalement, clamped down, and exploded yet again. With a hoarse groan, he surged into her one last time. He rubbed his jaw against her cheek and neck and lowered her shaking body to the bed, held her close like she was his. She stroked clumsy hands over the strong arms wrapped around her and held him back until she remembered sex didn't mean anything to him. And she loosened her grip somewhat. Michael enjoyed physical intimacy. That was all. Emotion clogged her throat anyway. If this was just practice, she never wanted the real thing. How long could she live in a fantasy? Chapter 16. As Michael embraced a boneless, contented Stella, his heart stumbled around his chest like a drunken man. That hadn't been practice fucking for a practice relationship, or pro bono fucking to prove he was better than his dad. He'd fucked hundreds of women, but he'd never been so in tune with one woman's body. He'd never been so desperate to please, or so elated when she cried his name and came for him again and again and again. He didn't know what that had been, but it sure as hell hadn't been fucking. She hugged him tighter, pressed sloppy kisses to his shoulder and neck, and grinned up at him. She arabesqued her fingers on his chest. Apparently this was not always a bad sign, and it tickled like hell. He flattened her fingers against his heart to still their tapping, and tried to put himself in a professional state of mind. Look at you. I'm expecting another 5-star review. 6 stars. Her grin widened, and chocolate eyes shone at him and forgot to dart away, letting him really look at her for the first time that morning. It made him feel like he'd won something priceless. Kicked the breath straight out of his lungs. You're bad for my ego. It's big enough as it is, he made himself say in a light tone. You don't act egotistical. You're very modest, but confident. It's one of the many things I love about you. Love? Sharpness panged inside his chest. She could never love him. He felt the certainty with every fiber of himself. Love required trust, and only a fool would trust him. He was his father's son. But he could prove he was more if he did this right. That was all he could ask for. He glanced at the clock and was amazed to see it wasn't even 10 yet. The events of the morning had felt life-changing, but they'd only been awake for 2 hours. I'm starving, and I need coffee, he said. I also need to get my car. All of my clean clothes are in there. Mostly, he needed some space. She was getting too close, and he needed to put distance between them. He got out of bed and pulled on his jeans, fully aware of his audience's appreciative gaze. He felt a little ridiculous about it, but maybe he did it slowly. Maybe he flexed his abs and biceps as he zipped his fly and buttoned his pants, because, really, putting on pants required a lot of muscle. Hurry up and get ready, Stella. Her brow furrowed. Why? We're going shopping. Couples do that on Sundays. Stella pursed her lips as she stared at her reflection in the mirror. Michael had just opened up an entire new branch of apparel to her. Yoga clothes. In particular, yoga pants. She was very possibly in heaven. The pants didn't itch at all, and they were tight. She loved clothes that hugged her. Even better, they made her legs and butt look outstanding. She looked like a dancer. Or a yogi. Or some hybridized version of the two. Come out so I can see, Michael said from outside the changing room. Biting her lip to hide her smile, she opened the door and stepped out. His crooked grin came out in full force, and his rare dimple winked. Knew it. Do you like it? She smoothed a hand over her tummy and turned in a slow circle. He stood up from the waiting chair and approached her, running appraising eyes over her curves. He slid a hand down the length of her neck to her shoulder and across the tight-fitting long sleeve so he could interlace their fingers. I love it. I'm sexy in this. He wrapped an arm around her waist and drew her near. Very sexy. He brushed his lips over hers and tickled his way to her ear and neck, making her squirm and bite back giggles that would have been decidedly unsexy. From the corner of her eye, she caught a shop girl watching her with open envy. The girl mouthed the words, "So lucky," and Stella grinned even though she had mixed feelings. None of this was real. She was paying for it. Not that she minded the expense. Michael was worth every penny.
I assume you're going to buy them?
One of every color. I have to put my foot down. Not the fluorescent orange with yellow spots. It hurts me, he said with a wince. No fluorescent orange and yellow. Got it. Oh, they have dresses. Her eyes rounded at the possibilities. When they stopped for lunch at a small French bakery in the Stanford Mall, 3 enormous bags of apparel took up the space on the pavement by their feet. He insisted they had the best non-Asian sandwiches in California, which Stella found interesting because she hadn't even known Asian sandwiches were a thing. She expected the sandwiches to be stacked high with deli goodness, but when he brought lunch to their outdoor table, it was plain baguettes with turkey, Swiss, and butter. At least he'd bought an almond croissant, too. To her surprise, her first bite of the baguette was delicious. "The secret is really good bread and butter. All you need is strong basics," he said with a wink, and she got the feeling he was talking about more than food. As light afternoon shopper traffic passed by, and the sun shone down through the trees, Stella decided she might want to do this again. Her regular Sunday schedule was shot, but she was open to developing a new weekend routine. She was adaptable, especially when things involved Michael. Dressed in casual khakis and a white button-down open at the collar and rolled up to his elbows, he looked magazine delicious, as usual. It occurred to her they'd spent the entire morning shopping for her. How selfish and self-absorbed of her. "Do you want to look at men's attire?" She considered the shops around them, wondering if any of them appealed to him. He shook his head with a funny smile. "No, thanks." "Are you sure? Would you let me get you something?" When his expression went uncomfortable, her heartbeat picked up, and she tried to make light of the situation by adding, "Since you won't let me get you a Lamborghini." He sent her a searching look. "Would you really get me a Lamborghini if I wanted it?" She stared down at the crumbs on her sandwich wrapper and nodded. "I can afford it, if that's what you're asking. I don't really know how to talk about money matters, but I make a lot, and there aren't many things I want to spend it on. I would love to get you a car, especially if..." She cut herself off before she could say something that would make him angry. "If what?"
"I'd rather not say. I'm pretty sure it's not appropriate."
He tilted his head to the side, and his expression grew shuttered.
"I'd like to hear it."
"I was going to say..." She took an uncomfortable breath. "Especially if another woman got you the one you have."
He focused on folding a sandwich wrapper into a neat square.
"Are you asking if the car was a gift?"
She was pretty sure it was, and it infuriated her.
"Yes."
"It was, actually.
From the blonde at the club." His brow wrinkled.
"How do you know that?"
"She's the client who won't leave you alone." The memory of the woman kissing him flashed in her mind, and Stella's hackles rose. Not only that, but he'd had sex with her, probably multiple times. She dug her nails into the glass surface of the table as her breathing went fast and bitter. He settled a hand on top of hers and her heart rate eased.
"I don't like getting those kinds of gifts. Please don't, okay?"
"Okay."
But she couldn't help feeling he kept the gift because he liked the woman who'd given it to him. Wasn't that what you did when someone meant something to you? You kept the things they gave you? She wanted him to keep something from her. The fact that he wasn't allowing her to give him anything made her feel almost desperate.
"You've got your work cut out for you if you're going to start getting jealous of my past clients, Stella," he said,
his eyes level and his voice somber, like his escorting was a sad reality they had to accept. Question after question piled on her tongue. If he didn't like it, why did he do it? He was so talented with clothes. Why didn't he make more of it instead of dry cleaning and altering it? What did he use his escorting money on? Did he have some secret addiction? Was he in danger? Why couldn't he be hers for real? He was hers for now, though. He didn't want the blonde. He hadn't been with the blonde this morning.
As they finished up with lunch, the question from before persisted in the back of her mind. Why couldn't he be hers for real?
There was only one plausible reason she could think of. He didn't want her back. Things like that weren't written in stone, though. At the beginning of all of this, she'd been prepared to learn skills that would aid her in seducing a man, possibly Philip James. But why should she settle for Philip when maybe she could have Michael? Could she use what he taught her on him? Could she seduce her escort?
Chapter 17. She was supposed to be working. The online underclothes project was interesting. Normally, she'd have finished by now. But she simply could not look at underwear, even the word underwear, and not think of Michael. The desk drawer where she kept her phone beckoned to her. She wanted to text him. Was that allowed? Aside from that night at her office, they'd only texted for logistical purposes. She tapped her fingers on the surface of her desk before she fisted her hand. How was she supposed to seduce him if she couldn't get up the nerve to send him a simple text message? She dug her phone out. Hi. She deleted the message before sending it. I miss you. Just the sight of those words made her palms sweat. Too direct. Delete. I wanted to confirm our plans for tonight. She hit send and placed the phone on her desk as she stared at her computer monitors without seeing a single thing. The screen on her phone went black from inactivity. He was probably busy. Her phone vibrated, but instead of buzzing once to indicate she'd gotten a text message, it kept buzzing. A phone call. She peeked at the screen and her heart jumped when she saw it was Michael. She hugged the phone to her chest before answering it. Hello? Hi, Stella. In the background, his mom gabbed in Vietnamese and a sewing machine word. I need both hands, so I decided to call you back instead of texting. We're still on for tonight. That Thai place in Mountain View.
Okay. I'll meet you there.
Perfect. The sewing machine paused, and silence hung in the virtual space between them. She willed him to speak. She wanted to hear his voice again.
Remember clothes. For my place. Unless you don't want to stay there. You don't have to. She said in a rush.
No, I'm fine with that. I just forgot. Thanks for reminding me.
He chuckled, and Stella's hands tightened on the phone. She really, really missed him. And it had only been a day since she'd seen him last. His mom said something, and he sighed.
I have to go. Looking forward to tonight. Miss you. Bye.
Her breath caught before she murmured, Miss you, too. The line had already disconnected, however, and she said the words to herself. How did other people get through their day when they missed someone like this? She wanted to see him. She tapped on her phone's photo bank and found it, as she'd known it would be, empty. Feeling impulsive, she texted Michael again. I want a picture of you for my phone. Please. She waited. When she lost hope that he'd respond and set her phone on her desk, it vibrated. It was a quick selfie, a close-up of his face with his eyebrow raised. He looked goofy but still utterly delectable. She sighed and ran her thumb over his cheek. Her phone buzzed again with text messages from him. Where's mine? I want your hair down. She released a disbelieving laugh. Are you serious?
Hair down. Selfie. Now. Undo your top two buttons, too.
Feeling silly, she gripped the rubber band holding her hair back and tried to pull it free. It caught, and when she pulled harder, it snapped, unraveled from her hair, and landed on the floor. She worked the strands apart from her fingers and then loosened the top buttons of her shirt. Her face peered at her from the phone screen, but she looked different. She didn't look like regular Stella. She looked like Secret Stella, the girl who was going to see her lover tonight. Her finger accidentally hit the camera button, capturing her face as understanding hit. That was what they were. They were lovers. She liked the sound of that. Quite a lot. She sent the picture to Michael almost instantly. Her phone vibrated. Damn, Stella. Sexy as hell. A laugh bubbled free, and she was half tempted to send him something really sexy, except she had no clue how to go about it. There was probably an art to the camera angle and body positioning, and her office was surrounded by windows. Either her colleagues would get an eyeful, or she'd have to figure out some way to stuff her phone inside her fitted clothes. She set her phone down in defeat and made herself focus on her work, which she still loved. As she waded through the data, she ran across an interesting finding. The vast majority of married men didn't buy underclothes, not even for themselves. Their wives did.
screening and filtering the data, looking back through the many years of numbers provided, she discovered they quit purchasing underclothes even before public records announced their marriages. What was going on there? What kind of anthropological phenomenon was this? The thrill of a new puzzle simmered through her veins, captivating her. She plotted the data against several different variables, analyzed the curves and seemingly random scatter graphs, looked at the statistics. She could not figure it out. She loved when she couldn't figure it out. Her phone buzzed, and the screen read, "Dinner with Michael." She sent a longing glance at her computer monitors, but she didn't let her hands touch her keyboard again. There was no such thing as 5 more minutes for her. If she went back to work, the next time she surfaced from the data would be well after midnight. That was why she set the alarms. Also, Michael was just as interesting as the data, and he made her laugh. He smelled good and felt good and tasted good, and she hugged herself as her feet danced over the carpet. This was almost too much perfectness. Exciting work during the day, exciting Michael at night. She wanted this every day, forever. She saved her work, powered down her computer, and gathered up her things, walking down the hallway while people were still in the office was something she did rarely. But her co-workers didn't usually think much about it. Tonight, however, the unusual attention she got as she passed by confused her. The top econometricians in their offices paused in the middle of writing formulas on their whiteboards. The younger analysts in their cubicles gave her startled looks. As she strode past Philip's office, he looked up from the papers on his desk and did a double take. She waved at him and went to the elevator banks. Just as the doors began to close, Philip jumped inside.
"You're heading out early today," he said.
In the process of adjusting her glasses, she realized her hair was down. This was why everyone was acting so funny. She rolled her eyes. It was just hair. Dinner plans. Philip's light eyes tracked over her in a thorough sweep.
"Meeting someone?"
She tucked her hair behind her ear. "Yes."
"Took my advice, huh?"
he said with his usual smirk. "I did, actually. Thanks." He blinked and his eyebrows climbed.
"You're surprising, Stella, and you look good with your hair down."
The appraising nature of his gaze made her thoroughly uncomfortable, and she itched to refasten her top two buttons. "Thanks."
"So, who is he? Do I know him? Is it serious?"
She tapped her fingers on her thighs. "I don't think you know him. I hope it's serious. It's serious to me."
"Don't ask him to marry you too soon, okay? That scares the crap out of guys."
She scowled at him. He cleared his throat.
"Sorry, that came out wrong. Just go slow. That's what I meant to say."
When the elevator dinged and the doors slid open, he pressed a hand to the door sensor to keep it open.
"Ladies first."
She marched out, hoping a fast gait would help her leave him behind. But he speed-walked to her side.
"Where are you two going?"
"A Thai place." She spotted her car in the parking lot and wished she could teleport herself directly inside. She was never wearing her hair down at work again.
"So you like spicy food?"
"I do. I'll tell you if this place is any good, and you can take Heidi there."
"Not dating Heidi anymore. She really is too young for me. No common ground. She said I have to work on how I communicate with people. Apparently I come across condescending. It's frustrating. I can't help it if I know things," he coughed. "Forget that last part."
That gave her pause. She knew what it was like to have trouble communicating. Did that mean Heidi had broken things off? Underneath his obnoxious exterior, was Philip sad? Was he capable of being sad? "I see."
"You and I have common ground."
By the look in his eyes, he meant it. He was actually interested in her now. Stella stopped at her car. "We do." Her mother thought they were perfect for one another. If he hadn't inspired her toward out-of-the-box thinking with his asshole advice, she might actually be interested back. At the very least, she might have let him be her fourth disastrous sexual encounter. Not any longer. The only one she wanted now was Michael.
I have to go, or I'll be late. He stepped back.
Have a good night, Stella. Not too good, though. See you tomorrow.
After she got inside her car and buckled up, she caught sight of him getting into his own vehicle, a brand new bright red Lamborghini. Not her style at all. She would have hated it on sight if it weren't for the fact that Michael liked them. Sighing, she headed to meet him. The drive was quick, and it wasn't long before she walked into the humid interior of the restaurant. He was waiting for her at a table for two by the window, looking edible himself in black slacks, a striped button-down, and a black silk vest that fit his trim waist to perfection. His eyes twinkled, and he tapped his lips with an index finger as he watched her walk between rows of tables toward him. When she reached the table, he stood up and wrapped her in a tight embrace, pressing his lips against her neck as he wove his fingers into her loose locks. All this hair. My Stella looks gorgeous tonight. She breathed him in and molded herself against him. A sense of rightness locked into place, and her resolve hardened. She was going to seduce him, if she could just figure out how. My rubber band broke when I took it out earlier. Now everyone at work thinks I've taken up stripping. His shoulders shook as he laughed. The waiter approached and they reluctantly broke apart to sit. You could, you know. You've got the body, he said with a teasing grin. With my coordination, I'd concuss myself on the pole. He stayed wisely silent on the topic of her coordination. Is this another Michael original? She asked, indicating his vest, which she loved to distraction. Of course. By the look in your eyes, you want to touch it. My work is complete. That was when she noticed she was reaching across the table toward him. She pulled her hands back and sat on them, adjusting her glasses with a wrinkle of her nose. You can look at it more closely later. He held a palm out on the table and cocked his head to the side, waiting, and she realized he wanted to hold her hand. How was she supposed to seduce him when he seduced her so well? She withdrew her hand from underneath herself and settled it in his. He closed his fingers around hers and stroked his thumb over the back of her hand. How was your day? As the words left her mouth, she recognized it was the first time she'd asked him that. It wasn't the first time she'd wanted to know. Was it too personal? Could she ask him things like that? His lips twisted with something between a smile and a grimace. It's prom season. Not my favorite time of year. Lots of alterations? And squealing teenaged girls. They must all crush on you instantly. That had to get pretty exhausting. I have my mom do most of those fittings, so it's not so bad. But I am going cross-eyed from all the spaghetti-strapped gowns. Your picture was the highlight of my day. That sounded terrible. Her picture hadn't even been that good. Do you wish you could work with more menswear, then? The thought that he wasn't doing what he loved felt like a sharp burr in her side. She would need therapy if she had to do work she detested all day, every week. He shrugged, but his expression was thoughtful. I prefer the creative side of the work, making something new. I don't mind the actual constructing and altering, but it's not very challenging. Have you thought of starting your own line? She covered her mouth as the idea occurred to her. You could go on one of those reality TV fashion contests. You would win. He smiled down at their joined hands, but it wasn't a happy smile. 3 years ago, I got selected for a spot on one of those. I think they like my face better than my portfolio, but whatever. An opportunity is an opportunity. Stuff happened, though, and my mom got sick. I had to turn it down. The blood drained from Stella's face as her chest broke open. Of course he would do that for his mom. He glanced up at her, and his expression went tender. Don't look so sad. She's doing really well lately. It's cancer? She vaguely recalled hearing his sisters mention chemo while they were fighting, but she'd been so overwhelmed she hadn't fully absorbed the information. How had that gotten past her? What kind of person was she?
Stage 4. Incurable, inoperable lung cancer.
No, she's never smoked. She just has bad luck. The latest treatments are working for her, though. Things have been good, he said with an encouraging smile.
She squeezed his hand tight as she gazed at him. Did he have any idea how indescribably wonderful he was? The waiter arrived, and Michael asked her,
"Want me to order?"
When she nodded, he rattled off the names of a few dishes without looking at the menu.
"How was your day?"
he asked. "Fine." He grinned and pinched her chin.
"Details, Stella."
"Oh, well, I've encountered an interesting puzzle with my work. There is this fascinating phenomenon I can't explain." "Why are you looking at me like that?" His head was tilted to the side, his smile particularly fond.
"You are adorably sexy when you talk about your work."
"Those things don't go together."
He laughed. "They do with you. Continue. Puzzle, fascinating phenomenon."
"I'll tell you when I figure it out, which I will. Let's see here. What else happened? Oh, my boss is pressuring me to hire an intern, and I took my first selfie today." She left out everything relating to Philip. There was no need to mention that uncomfortable encounter.
"Does your boss think you're working too much?"
She shrugged. "Who doesn't think that?"
"It's not too much if you love it, like you do."
"Precisely. Please tell my mother that."
"If I see her, I will," he said.
But judging from the tone of his voice, he thought the likelihood of his seeing her mother was low. "That would be in about a month at the benefit dinner she's throwing. If you want to come with me, that is. You don't have to," she added quickly. The muscles in his jaw worked as he considered her.
"Do you want me to come?"
She nodded. "She's threatened to matchmake if I don't have a date. And she only wanted to be with Michael. No one else."
"Very dire indeed. When is it?"
"A Saturday evening, formal attire. That shouldn't be a problem for you." The corner of his mouth kicked up, but the tension around his eyes remained.
"All right. I'll mark it on my calendar. I'd be happy to go."
"Really?"
"Yeah."
She bit her lip, hesitated, but decided to go ahead and say it. "Will you make my dress?" He searched her eyes for a long moment.
"Okay."
"I'll pay for it, of course."
"Wait until you see it first," he said,
bringing her hand up to his mouth so he could kiss her knuckles. "I'm going to love it." He shook with another laugh.
"I think you will."
Dinner arrived, and conversation, real conversation, continued at a steady pace as they ate food spiced with lemongrass, makrut lime leaves, basil, and red chili peppers that burned her lips. She asked Michael about his favorite designers, Jean-Paul Gaultier, Issey Miyake, and Yves Saint Laurent, and learned he'd gone to fashion school in San Francisco. He asked when she'd discovered her love of economics, high school, and when she'd had her first boyfriend. Never. He'd gone steady with a girl in fourth grade, spending time with her primarily on the school bus. Stella ate more than she normally would have. She wanted to drag this out. When the bill came, she grabbed for it, but Michael handed the waiter his credit card with adept smoothness. She narrowed her eyes. This wasn't the first time he'd insisted on paying for things with her, and it made her intensely uncomfortable. Living expenses like these were inconsequential to her, and he clearly had money troubles. Why wouldn't he let her pay? How could they work around this? She had no idea how to discuss monetary things without insulting him. On their way out of the restaurant, Michael said,
"I need to stop at my place to pick up my clothes. I forgot about it until you reminded me."
Does that mean I can see it? Or was she making assumptions by thinking they were spending the night together?
"If you really want to. It's nothing special."
He rubbed the back of his neck, looking charmingly ill at ease. "It can't be worse than my place."
"What do you mean by that?"
"My place is empty and sterile." People called her that when they thought she wasn't listening. He ran his fingers across her cheek and down her hair.
"It just needs furniture. Come on, then. It's really close to here."
By really close, he might have said he lived in the apartment complex right next door. It would have saved her from trying to find a place to park. After circling the packed parking lot unsuccessfully,
He told her to take his assigned spot, and he parked a ways out on the street as she waited for him by the complex's water garden. Taking her hand, he led her up a set of outdoor stairs to his third-floor apartment. "I didn't clean before I left, so expect the worst. Don't have a heart attack, okay?" She braced herself. "I promise." Chapter 18. Michael held his breath as Stella walked into his one-bedroom apartment. It wasn't dirty. He was actually a super neat person. But it wasn't very nice, either. He tried looking at the space through her eyes. A small brown IKEA sofa sat against one wall of the living room, across from a modest-sized flat-screen TV. At the back of the room were his workout bench and an arrangement of organized free weights. His punching bag hung near the corner in flagrant violation of his rental agreement. The kitchen was a cramped area with laminate countertops, an electric range, and a small wooden table with four matching chairs. He kept a plant in the center of the table for color because, yeah, he liked that sort of thing. A metal filing cabinet was pushed against the back wall with bills and things on top he hadn't gotten around to yet. Stella removed her high heels and set them next to his other shoes. Her purse she placed absently on his couch as she inspected the DVDs lined up inside the TV console. Leaning over for a closer look, she gave him a gratuitous view of her luscious ass. "You alphabetize them." He couldn't help laughing. She never acted the way he expected.
"Am I rocking your world, Stella?"
"What is this? Laughing in the wind?" She opened the glass door and pulled out the 1-inch-thick DVD case.
"Only the best Wuxia television series ever."
She glanced up from the box with her lips parted, looking like she'd found the Holy Grail, and it took effort not to grin like hell. None of his previous girlfriends had known what Wuxia was, let alone shared his secret dorky obsession. Trying to stay cool, he kicked his shoes off and placed them next to hers.
"You can borrow it if you want."
She hugged her treasure to her chest. "Okay, thanks."
"Be careful, though. It's really addicting, and there are 80 episodes or something."
He rubbed the smile off his mouth and ran his fingers through his hair.
"Feel free to look around while I pack my stuff."
But instead of staying behind when he went to his bedroom, she followed him and perched on the edge of the bed, smiling at him before checking out the plain space with curious sweeps of her eyes. Dressed in her expensive business clothes, she looked so out of place inside his cheap apartment that he wondered why the fuck he'd brought her here. To torment himself, probably. This was a no-client, no-woman zone, a place where he went to get normal in his head. How was he going to set his mind straight when things ended if he had memories of her sitting on his bed, waiting for him, smiling in the way that was just for him? He escaped to his walk-in closet and stared at his suits and shirts, letting the sight remind him of a time when he hadn't lived with a noose around his neck. He mentally picked out which garments to bring to Stella's and retrieved a black sports bag from the top shelf. On his way out of the closet, he deliberated over the number of socks and boxers to pack. A week's worth should... Stella was curled up in his blankets, burrowing into his pillow with an expression of pure ecstasy on her face. It was strange as hell.
It shouldn't have aroused him.
But it did. He dropped his bag to the ground and leaned over her.
"Now that you've found my pillow and sheets, you don't need me anymore. Is that it?"
he whispered. Her eyes popped open and she blushed. "They smell so good."
"Aren't you concerned they're dirty?"
She widened her eyes and tossed the blankets away from her chest. She looked like she might be sick. Looked almost betrayed. Before she could start hyperventilating, he lay down on the bed and gathered her against himself.
"I'm the only one who sleeps here, Stella. I was kidding. And I shower at night."
He had to wash his clients away before he slept. No way would he bring them into his bed. Well, except for this client. None of his rules had ever applied to Stella. She pounded her fists against his chest without force. "That's not funny, Michael,"
I'm sorry. He smoothed the hair away from her face and straightened her glasses for her. I was only teasing you, and I didn't think about the others until you reacted that way.
You really haven't brought any of them here? Was she jealous? Did he want her to be jealous?
Fuck yes, he did. Never.
She pursed her lips like she was biting the inside. I should leave. I barged my way in here, didn't I? Thank you for showing it to me. I like it. I should get a plant.
She prepared to get up, and he told himself to let her go. This space was not for clients, and he didn't need more memories of her in his bed.
Let her go.
His arms refused to listen. They pulled her close so their bodies lined up in that perfect, custom-made way. In my mind, I don't group you with them, Stella.
You don't?
She looked so hopeful. Michael couldn't stop himself from saying, No, you're not just another client to me.
In a good way, right?
She asked with a wobbly smile. In the best way.
He stroked her hair loose, and she shut her eyes as she leaned into his caress, trusting him in a way that humbled him. When he slipped her glasses off and set them on the nightstand, she opened her eyes and swallowed, drawing his attention to the wildly beating pulse point beneath her jaw. Her cheeks bloomed with color. She wanted him. He'd never loved being wanted this much. So pretty, Stella. He brushed his thumb across her bottom lip, and she sighed and kissed it, before she surprised him by sucking it into her mouth. She stroked her tongue over him before she bit him, sending a sudden fireburst of sensation directly to his cock.
Where the hell did you learn that?
She released his finger. I just wanted to do it. But I plan to research erotic finger biting tomorrow.
You could ask me, you know.
He lifted her small hand to his mouth and bit the base of her palm. Her fingers twitched, and her breath came out in a long, ragged exhalation. I want to know all the things you love most. She captured his hand and brought it to her mouth. White teeth nipped at his skin, and the hairs on his body stood up.
I love kissing you,
he admitted. She trailed her fingertips lightly over his lips. Does that mean I can kiss you?
You don't have to ask.
She was the only one who ever did. Maybe that was why he was so crazy about her. I have permission to kiss you whenever I want? She watched his mouth like what he said was too good to be true.
Yeah.
She brought their lips together and kissed him like he was oxygen and she was short on air. He ran his hands down her back to her hips, cupped her sweet ass, pulled her into his hardness. She struggled to get closer, threaded her fingers through his hair as she poured herself into the kiss. So soft, every part of her, but covered by clothes. Michael loved clothes, but they locked Stella away. He'd never felt the urge to tear at buttons like he did now. Breaking the kiss, he captured a hand and loosened the cuff around her elegant wrist.
Clothes off,
he growled. After he'd unbuttoned his cuffs, she wordlessly went to work on his, and he realized this was her first time undressing him. He'd been undressed by hundreds of different people. In that moment, he couldn't remember a single one of their faces. There was only Stella. They worked together, their arms crisscrossing and intertwining as they unbuttoned each other's shirts and his vest, tugged the tails free. She stroked pale hands over his chest and grazed the discs of his nipples, making his skin burn. He trailed his fingers from her collarbone, down the valley between her bra-covered breasts, over her flat belly, to the waistband of her skirt. After he undid the hook fastening at the side, he eased the zipper over the sweet curve of her hip.
Skirt off, Stella. If I can't touch you, I'll go crazy.
He kneaded his hands between her legs, needed to taste her. She sat up on her knees and lowered her skirt. Sitting back down, she pulled the skirt all the way off and set it on the nightstand. She peeked at him from beneath her eyelashes, as she curled her legs under herself and fiddled with her open cuffs. Her unbuttoned shirt exposed her skin-tone bra and panties and flawless, creamy skin.
"You're still wearing too many clothes," he said.
She drew her shirt off with a shy shrug of her shoulders and unhooked her bra, letting it fall from her breasts. Michael almost groaned at the sight of her stiff nipples. When she ran her palms over his breasts and rubbed the tips with restless motions, he did groan. That was fucking hot, and she had no clue.
"It makes them ache when you look at them like that," she whispered.
"Like what?"
he rasped, wondering if she'd say it.
"Like you want to..."
"Lick them? Suck them?"
Her face went bright red, but she nodded.
"Come here."
She crawled to him and pressed herself to his front, nuzzling his neck as her hand snuck behind him under his shirt and grasped his back. The hard tips of her nipples grazed his chest, and Michael couldn't resist cupping her tits and tweaking the pebbled flesh with his fingers. Her breath was a ragged sigh against his throat before her teeth scraped at his skin.
"You're wearing a lot more clothes than I am, Michael."
"Then take them off for me."
Her eyes brightened, and a smile curved on her lips, as he'd known she would. His Stella really liked the idea of undressing him. She brushed her hands over the black silk of his vest before she pushed it over his shoulders and set it on the nightstand carefully, because it was his work, and she respected that. Such a simple thing, but it made him want to wrap her up and never let her go. His shirt came off, was draped over the nightstand as well, and when her attention returned to him, she lost her focus. She ran greedy hands over his arms, chest, and abs, traced his tattoo. She kissed the dragon's eye, licked it.
"I love your tattoo."
"You don't strike me as a tattoo girl."
"It's yours, Michael," she said simply.
He pulled her hips against his and arched into her so she could feel what she did to him. Her head fell back and her body softened. Michael was good, but he'd never been this good. It was like Stella was made for him, specially designed to respond to him, only him. The thought filled him with fierce possessiveness. His hands grew rough as he touched her body, molding her to him as he claimed her mouth. The kiss was a savage thing of teeth and tongues, but she didn't protest. Instead, she matched him roughness for roughness, kissed him, until she was gasping. He was unprepared when she stroked over the fly of his pants. Pleasure coursed through him in a heated wave. His cock jumped, and a hoarse groan tore from his throat. His stomach muscles flexed as he tried to catch his breath.
"I love this part of you," she whispered with another stroke. "Show me how to make you feel good."
Some vague sense of self-preservation told him to deny her, warned that he shouldn't arm her with tools that would lead to his downfall. But as always, he couldn't refuse her. He unbuttoned and unzipped his pants and withdrew the hard length of his cock, almost losing it when her eyes went dark with naked longing.
"Like this."
He wrapped her fingers around himself with a groan and taught her the perfect rhythm he preferred, the pressure that drove him out of his mind, things he'd never shown his clients. They'd only cared about themselves. Stella was different. Her entire being was focused on pleasing him, because she wanted to learn how to do this for someone else, or because he mattered to her like no one ever had. He knew which one it was. He still wanted her anyway. He eased his hands down the swan line of her spine and hooked his thumbs in the elastic of her panties, pushed the material down her thighs. They were soaked, clear through, and the scent of her arousal pushed him to the edge of his control. He almost spilled into her palm. She might be pleasuring him as part of her sex ed, but she was loving it too. You couldn't fake this kind of evidence. After settling her back onto the bed, he tore her panties off, balled them up, and brought them to his nose to inhale her scent.
"I'm keeping these."
"They're not... they're..." He spread her thighs wide and took in the sight of her beautiful pussy. Wet, swollen folds, flushed deep pink, and blossomed wide open for him. His fingers rubbed over her of their own volition and pushed into her.
Fuck. The heat. The tightness. So perfect for